Yeah, are you guys ready for the word this morning?
Boy!
Woo! Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Hey, before I bring up our guest speaker today, I want to say that this man is a very influential man. As you can tell, there's some new people in this church right here today. Listen, man, this guy has a servant's heart. And I tell you, when I came to this church about 6 years ago, I witnessed him serving as greeter, as AV, and he hasn't stopped. Dedicated. There is not a place in this church where he does not serve. Amen? Oh, my goodness. And so I follow pursuit. I follow suit like, boom. You know, he serves on the worship team, the AV team, greeter, and he teaches the kids in the back. I mean, my goodness. And not only does he teach, I'm talking about when he gets the word, right? When he goes over the sermon and the stuff, he rewrites it and caters it to the kids. He tailors it to the individuals who he's teaching. Amen? Not everybody does that. They'll catch the thing and be like, you know what? I'm going to freestyle this and blah, 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 blah. Right? This man right here is incredible. We talk at least once or twice a week. I mean, we do life together. Amen? You got to have those people in your life who you're holding you accountable, who you can trust, who you can talk to and speak to you when stuff, you know? How many got an accountability partner? Put your hands up. Everybody should have their hands up. Anybody heard of Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas? We all got to have that. Got to have a mentor. You got to have somebody that you're pouring into, and you got to have those around you that are challenging you and that are encouraging you. Amen. He's one of those guys that I have on my team, and that's why I am the man I am today. Amen. So we, without further ado, we're going to bring him up. Here comes Jay to the peace. Stand to your feet. Clap your hands. Jonathan Pennywell with the word. Praise God in this house. Love you, dog.
Oh, I'd like to thank Renee for that wonderful introduction. You guys can be seated. Just need to get situated up here. Set this timer for 2 hours because that's how long church is, right? Oh, y'all ain't here for 2 hours? No, I'm just playing. I ain't going to do that. I first want to start by just showing honor. So I want to give honor to God first, honor God. So let's clap for God, give him honor. And then secondly, I would like to give honor to our wonderful pastor, Pastor Shayna Hurd. She's not with us today, but man, what an incredible woman. So if you're visiting for the first time, if God puts it on your heart to come back and visit, you want to hear her, you know. I'm just a layup to, you know, her slam dunking the ball, you know. And then also, I want to honor my parents right here. My mother and my father, you know, happy early Father's Day. And then last but not least, I'd like to honor my wife, Crystal. What an amazing partner that I have. As the Bible says, a helpmate, you know. So she is my helpmate. So let's turn to Ephesians 2:10 real quick. And while you guys are turning there, can I let you guys in on a little secret? Oh, I don't know if y'all ready for this, right? Well, some of you guys are visiting for the first time and actually came because you heard I was speaking, but I want to let you know that I actually invited a guest speaker today. Oh, somebody said, oh, right? Well, I want to let you guys know I invited the Holy Spirit to join us this morning, right? Now, what you don't know is he's in every message every week, but I decided to just lighten y'all up a little bit this morning and tell you that I invited him with me. Plus, y'all need a couple minutes to get the verse. So you guys all got it? All right, let us all stand for the reverence of God and his word. And but before we read the passage, Alex, go ahead and put on – oh, there we go. So what we like to do at this church is we like to declare some things in the air before we even get started. So If you have your Bibles or your electronic device, if you can just hold it high in the air and say this with me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right? So today we'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't happen to have that version, it's okay. We put the wonderful words on the screen for you so that we all can speak in one unison. All right? So let's go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we shall walk in them. Father God, I just thank you right now that you give me, allow me to give voice to your word right now, Father. Holy Spirit, come and you preach this message through me. Have your way in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can sit down. We're gonna dive in this word because I got a lot to say and I don't know if I got a lot of time. Johnny, come up here for me real quick. I like to do a live illustration of something real quick. So come right here. Dang, you shouldn't have put word as shirt. You make me look little. dang. Church family and guests, this is Johnny. Me and Johnny go to the gym together. I've been knowing Johnny for several years. About a year and a half ago, this young man comes up to me at the gym, and we start having this conversation that kind of leads to this message that I'm going to preach today. So that's why I'm bringing him up. As you can see, I don't have to say, Johnny is in excellent shape, right? Johnny is in an excellent shape. So this thought came to my head. I was like, man, Johnny, if you help me work on the outside, I can help you work on the inside. And Johnny's response was, he didn't agree to it right away, but this saying came to him. Johnny was like, he pointed at me and he said, inside. And then he pointed at himself and he said, outside. So every time we saw each other at the gym, if he pointed at me, I would say, inside. If I pointed at him, he would say, outside. So it was like this inside thing that we had. So today, I'm going to talk to you guys about living from the inside out. Johnny, you can go ahead and be seated. See, it's a good word with me, even preaching. See, that's why this thing gonna preach itself. That's why I invited the Holy Spirit. See, y'all learn something, right? So when we think about this concept of living from the inside out, basically what we're gonna be talking about is comparing our spirit, which is your inside man. So you're gonna hear me say spirit, and I'm gonna be talking about the inside. And then you're gonna hear me say body or flesh, and we're gonna be talking about the outside. Say this after me. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotion. So if you're going to live from the inside out, you're going to have to be led by your spirit, man, and not your flesh, right? So as we start with this, there was three words that came to mind. It was motivation, determination, and transformation. Ooh, see, some of y'all are, ooh. motivation, moving from motivation towards determination results of this process of continuous transformation. Continuous transformation. Eat on that to the end of the message. Right? So living from the inside out, it first starts off by being motivated by what you see, which is my first point. Most of you guys know that I enjoy going to the gym. There's several people in here that I go to the gym with, kind of hang out, work out, do our thing, right? I get the opportunity through my job to travel to various places like Las Vegas. There came a time where I went to the Las Vegas market and I walked into the gym and I was like, man, something's different, right? And, you know, what's different about Vegas is, I mean, everybody's in shape. You go to the gym out there, there's not a single person that isn't in shape. But what I noticed was everybody was motivated by what they see, right? So if you think about if you ever walked into a gym, when you get in that weight room of the gym on purpose, They put mirrors all over. So what's people constantly doing? Posing, looking at themselves, flipping up their shirt, trying to see if, you know, trying to see some results, right? But so just through casual conversations with people in the gym and talking to them and then also hearing them talk, I just felt like something was missing. And what it was is I was just like, in this area there may be an identity crisis. I know it sounds harsh, but what I meant by that, it was just like these people may not know who they are. And I wasn't talking about who they are in the mirror because they, you know, they can walk in front of a mirror and see that, right? What I was talking about is who they are inside, in Christ, in that inner man. So several years ago, I came across this verse, which kind of captivated me and changed the way I went to the gym, right? Because I was, not that I ain't into working out, you know, I do my best to stay in shape, but it was just, God was calling me to do something else at the gym. He was calling me to help people with their inside in the gym. I ran across this verse, which is 1 Timothy 4:8, and it says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things." All things, right? You see that? So going to the gym, you lift weights, build muscle, may get in shape, but it says it'll profit a little. But spiritual exercise, on the other hand, is profitable for all things. Just think about it, right? There's nothing that spiritual exercise won't profit. Spiritual exercise will continue to grow your faith, right? And your faith muscle, as it works out, what does it do? Just like your physical body, it gets stronger and stronger. The more the words you get inside of you, the stronger and stronger you get, right? So if we go and look back at it, I'm going to preach a lot out of our main verse, Ephesians 2:10. So if we just go pop back to Ephesians 2:10, we're going to look at the first part of this verse and see how that motivation ties in with this verse. So the first part of the verse says that we are his workmanship. The word workmanship in the Greek means poemia, which is where we get our English word poem from. Ah, what is poem? It's a masterpiece. It's an artwork. Not just any artwork or masterpiece, but God's artwork, right? God just didn't create us. He didn't just create us so we can look like this, but God crafted us and designed us with this identity inside of us, right? It's not like today. He didn't just walk into a store like Target and purchase us or anything like that, or go online on Amazon and say, "Oh, give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that." No, he created you. He created you with an intention for something. And that's what we're going to walk through in here. He created you in the inside so that it comes out, right? Did you know when you wake up in the morning, you just don't, sorry about that, got a sound in my throat. When you wake up in the morning, God wants you to think like him. He wants you to think like heaven. What is heaven? What does that look like? Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ." Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ. Anytime you see the word let, you have to allow it, right? It just doesn't happen. When you wake up in the morning, you have to allow this mind of Christ to be in you. You're just not going to wake up on it and think like heaven. What that looks like is I have to think how God thinks. And what does God see? God sees people all around you, outside of your immediate family. They are dependent on you today. And what are some of the things they're dependent on you for? They're dependent on you for encouragement. They're dependent on you to hear a word. They're dependent on you for prayer. They're dependent on you for salvation. There's people all over this valley, all over this community, all over the world that are dependent on you. This motivation that comes from the Spirit, man, is only something that can be seen in the mirror by the Spirit, man, right? I can't just look in the mirror and see this motivation, because it's like, oh, I don't see with my physical eyes. It's coming from that inside man. So as motivation helps you get started, it is determination that helps you finish what you started. Which brings me to my second point. Living from the inside out will cause you to be determined to move past being motivated by what you see and towards a sense of knowing that you were created in Christ Jesus. Have you ever thought to yourself why you were created? Interesting question, right? Right? It's like, God, was I created to be a parent? God, was I created to be a teacher? God, was I created to be a leader? Did you notice the question wasn't asked to anybody but to God, right? Because we got to be careful who we ask a question like that to, because we may not get to the right answer. Only God can give you that answer, right? Today I have good news for you, though. As you saw in our verse, the Bible tells us why we were created. So if we go back to Ephesians 2:10 and we look at the second part of this verse, it says that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say good works. So now that we see it, you're probably wondering what good works means. Because I did. As I was going through this, I was like, well, do I even really understand what good works is? Right? So y'all in luck. I did the research for you. So So what I did is I broke it down into two things. I broke down to two words. I broke down good. So if you look in the Bible, when you see the word good, it usually describes something as beneficial, useful, or pleasing. The word works means to care for, encourage, or to serve. So if we put those two words together, you come up with my definition. Something I came up with. An act that is beneficial or pleasing when encouraging or serving others. Good works comes from this overflow in gratitude and love for Christ Jesus because he died for you. If we look in the Bible, Jesus, while he walked the earth, he did all kind of miracles. All that stuff is good works. But guess what he told us? Guess what he told his disciples? Greater works. Woo! He said, greater works will you do. That means you, everybody in this room. He said, greater works will you do. I'm just trying to do what Jesus did. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I'm just trying to do that. But he said greater. How many of y'all ready for the greater? Yeah? All right. So when you live from the inside out, you're operating out of good works that God's put inside of you. You just don't exist. There's a light inside of you that is ready to shine in everything that you do. Pastor Shana talked about this in her message a few weeks ago, turn on the light. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You notice the first word in the verse says you. You are the light of the world because the light of the world is inside of you. This is why it's important to grasp this concept of living from the inside out. God created you for good works, not hidden, but so that the world can see the goodness of God on display through you and all that you do each and every day. So what does that look like for the average day person, right? Most of us in here have jobs, right? You go to a job. How many of you guys have ever been treated unfairly on your job so somebody can either get promoted or whatever, get you in trouble, right? We all have, well, not all, but a lot of people have experienced that, right? But did you know that 10% of life is what happens to you, and the other 90% is how you respond? So if we're going to live from this inside out, we're going to have to respond in the spirit, the inside man, instead of our flesh, the outside man, right? Because we already know our flesh would be like, let's get them. Let's get that person. Your flesh is going to be after them, right? Your flesh is like, oh, no, they wronged me. Oh, ooh, we got a problem, you know, because that's how your flesh is going to respond. But your spirit man is going to respond in love. It's going to respond in compassion. It's going to respond in a service heart, right? It's going to be like, as silly as it sounds, it's going to be like, hey, how do I help this person get promoted? Oops. Like, how do I serve this person in this time? See, that's what's challenging, right? Even those who are Christians, even people who know Christ, that's where the struggle is, living, bringing that inside man on the outside, wherever we go, even on our job, right? A couple weeks ago, it was my birthday, so I turned 40. I don't know if I should be telling y'all that because I look 29, but anyway, a couple weeks ago, I turned 40, and my wife ended up taking me out for my birthday. We had a fabulous day. Day started off by getting a massage, and then she took me to lunch, and then we watched a movie, and then it ended up at a restaurant for dinner. Now, I haven't had terrible service at a restaurant in a long, long time. And it was my birthday, so this was kind of annoying. But anyways, we received terrible service, right? And when you receive terrible service, you're more likely to want to respond in your flesh than your spirit, right? Your flesh is like, shh, they don't deserve no tip. Or, ah, man, I'll give them a little something. I'll give them 5%, 10%, or whatever. But my wife, since she was treating me, I let her determine the tip. And it was without hesitation, the spirit that was inside of my wife raised up. She wanted to extend the grace of God to this waitress. My wife tipped her 22%. So that don't sound like a lot to y'all, but if you go from 0 to 22, that's a whole lot, you know, right? That person could have started with nothing and got whatever, $20 or whatever. I don't know, even know what the bill was. But anyways, but that's just it. It's our response to that and how we do, right? Now, a great illustration of a person moving from the outside to the inside can be seen in the life of Jack Frost. Back in February, my wife started an amazing 10-week healing class that was life-changing for a lot of people in here that took it. Every week before coming to class, we had homework. We had to read 1 to 2 chapters of a book called Experiencing Father's Embrace by Jack Frost. In the first chapter of this book, it talks about how Jack was determined to become the best fisher boat captain. This determination that Jack had was influenced by what he saw in his father. His father was a well-respected man in their community because of his athletic ability when it came to tennis. He was a professional tennis instructor and won many awards and honors. The book talks about how Jack was driven by a relentless desire to prove himself to his father, which inspired him to become the best fisherman on the southeast of the United States. Award for that is called Top Hook. So, needless to say, everything in Jack's life at that moment revolved around chasing this award, right? Chasing this accolade. And what ended up happening is by him chasing this reward and accolade, his family suffered. Because Jack was running in fear. He was in fear of not being able to please his dad. Because his dad was this amazing tennis instructor and stuff like that. Also, by Jack doing that, he was in charge of a fishing boat. So all the people on board, he was taking risk, you know, just to win this amazing award. He was taking risk. So what was happening? He was putting their lives at risk. You see, Jack was out to prove to his father that he can accomplish something, and the fear of failing influenced the relationship he had with his own family. This was Jack's flesh in operation. Since he was operating in his flesh, it was all about Jack. He was going to do whatever it did to fulfill the desires of that flesh, right? It didn't matter who got hurt physically or emotionally. Now, the book goes on to talk about what happened that caused Jack to start living from the inside out. Several years later, Jack Frost was embraced by Father God. The book talks about how Jack's overwhelming love finally broke through, and Jack called out to God for 3 days on the sea and asked God to make himself real to him. God responded with unconditional love, and the presence of God broke the chains of alcoholism, drug addiction, and pornography off of Jack's life. Say this after me. God, if you did it for Jack, you can do it for me. Amen. See, we receive that in this house. Jack tasted the goodness of God and allowed his spirit man to kick in and started living from the inside out. He became a pastor, a best-selling author, and a co-founder of Shiloh Place Ministry. Jack was now all about serving others. His response to life was different. It was more like, how can I advance the kingdom wherever I go? Being led by the Spirit is the driving force of the spirit man. It sees the best in others and helps others see the best in themselves. We started this message all off talking about the fact that living from the inside out starts with being motivated by what you see and then moving towards being determined to know where you were created for good works. But let me ask you a question. What good is motivation and determination if you don't have transformation? Living from the inside out is a process of continuous transformation, which is my final point. This is a process that points people to Jesus. If we look at the last part of our main scripture, Ephesians 2:10, which is coming up, it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before you were in your mother's womb, God already had a purpose and plan for your life. The results of you identifying who you are in Christ and understanding that he created you for good works is this process of continuous transformation. Notice that I use the word continuous because transformation is not a one-time event or a one-time thing. It's a lifetime. God is continuing to transform you each and every day. He's using Holy Spirit to help lead the way. The evidence of you being led by your spirit man should be that you are doing good works. Through those works, people should be seeing you become more and more like Jesus. Not only you, but you should be helping them become more and more like Jesus, right? I know we live in a world where you can get anything instantly, right? We got this supercomputer right here. If I want right now, I can order lunch. It'll be here when we're done, right? You can do a lot of stuff. You got things at your fingertips, right? But guess what? That's not how transformation works in the kingdom of God. I want to encourage someone today that even if you don't see the transformation in your life right now, keep growing, keep going. It's a continuous process. Transformation is there, even if you don't see it. Speaking of transformation, in the next building over from us is a place called The Camp Transformation Center. How many of y'all seen that wonderful place over there, right? This place is a place where you pay a fee and you're able to join a six-week challenge to lose 20 pounds. Through that challenge, if you lose the 20 pounds by the end of the challenge, that fee you paid rolls over to the next challenge. In order to receive your full refund, you would have to get down to your body mass index, so your BMI, at the end of the at the end of, so you just continue to do challenges, right? People who have success with these challenges either continue to do more challenges or they end up joining a camp. They end up paying a membership fee and just joining and they continue on with the process. What a great way to motivate people to get in shape, right? Change their bodies, right? This transformation camp, if you look around or look online, they're opening up everywhere. It's like wildflowers. It's a very successful business. It's great to hear that programs like this is helping people transform the outer man, but what about the inner man, right? Over time, transformation on the outside only lasts so long. People get the results they usually want, and then they quit. On the other hand, living from the inside out transforms the inside in a way that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. I heard a pastor say once that if you heard the word of God and don't do it, it won't transform you. Somebody said, good. I was going to say, that is so true. But it is good, right? The word of God needs to be applied to how you live your life every day. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Doing the word of God looks like walking in good works, pointing people to Jesus. There is something that only the spirit man can do. It's called living from the inside out. So why do we struggle with our flesh leading our spirit? I can tell you why. Because your flesh, your outside, your body, it is older than the spirit inside of you. Last month, I turned 40 years old, as I mentioned, right? At the age of 12, I gave my life to Christ. So my spirit man's only 28, right? So since my spirit man is only 28, I have to continue to grow and strengthen this inner man so that it will overtake my body, right? It has to overtake it, right? Just think. I know I ain't the only one that's ever heard this, but people say, oh, I thought you were a Christian, you know, because they're looking at your actions, right? In that moment that they caught you in, your flesh was on the outer half. But just think, if I was living every day, moment by moment, thinking spirit, man, then what they see on the reflection of the outside is spirit, right? That's the challenge. That's the challenge for all of us, is to continuously walk like that, right? The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Conforming to the patterns of this world is your flesh. Your flesh wants to do whatever your flesh wants to do and desires. It doesn't have an appetite for the word of God. Your flesh may be easily influenced by others around you because it wants to be accepted. On the contrary, the word of God renews your mind. It transforms your thinking in a way that your spirit man can be led by the spirit of God, and the results is a stronger spirit leading your flesh. This is why reading and listening to the word of God each and every day is so important, right? How are you going to combat watching hours of TV or being on Instagram and Facebook posts with next to no time in the word of God, right? How are we going to point people to Jesus if there's no Jesus inside of us that day? We are Jesus pointers. Y'all remember Usain Bolt? What did he used to do when he went to track meet? I don't know what he was doing, but I think he was pointing people to Jesus. He was using his speed to show people, you know, what was going on. Transformation should always point people to Jesus. There's no guarantee that you will live with this inside-out approach. There's a choice you have to make each and every day. A choice to live from the inside out each and every day, being led by the Holy Spirit, which is inside of you. That every time you take a step, so when I step forward, I continue to be transformed, right? My challenge to you today is to have a desire in your heart to live each and every day from the inside out. Amen. That's it. You can stand to your feet. All right. So there's two parts to this message, I feel like. A lot of stuff I talked about and covered kind of was talking to somebody who knew Christ and just needed to get back and be reminded to walk in the Spirit, right? We're a Spirit-filled church here. But when we get outside of this wall, get outside of these walls, the Spirit wants to continue to lead us and not let our flesh lead us. But then there's also some of you that may be in here, who don't know Christ, who don't have a relationship with God. So right now, I'd just like to extend an invitation to that right now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or anything like that. If any of you guys want to be led by the Spirit that I talked about today, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with every head bowed and eyes closed, anyone who wants to accept Jesus as Lord and Christ, just raise your hand right now. With every head bowed, I would just like to have everybody repeat this after me. Lord, I come to you today as a sinner looking for a Savior. Jesus, I recognize that you died and were buried, and on 3 days you raised for the forgiveness of my sin, and I can be led by the Spirit. So come into my heart, and I accept you right now as my Savior. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all clap. Go ahead and clap. So for anybody who raised their hand for the first time, we welcome you to the family. We welcome you to the family of God. And we praise God for you right now. And I just think there's a second calling to this, right? It's just coming before God right now, and just anybody who feels like, hey, you know, I'm done letting little brother, that flesh, dominate my life, and you want to just recommit and resurrender to God, just like, God, I just want to be led by the Spirit. Just come to the altar, and I just want to pray for those who want to come. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, Father God, we just thank you right now, Father. We thank you for your people that have acknowledged you today, Father. Acknowledge that the flesh has been getting in the way, Father, and they no longer desire to be led that way, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you put the Spirit inside of us to move in power in our lives, move with instructions, move with guidance and prayer. I just pray for your people that are sitting here right here at the altar right now, Father. Spirit, lead them. Spirit, guide them. Spirit, rule over them in all situations. Holy Spirit, remind them that you are present in everything, Father. that you are present wherever is needed. And we just thank you for them right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Somebody praise God in this house. Yes, yes. Incredible word, incredible word. How many of us needed that word this morning? Oh, that was such a good word. Hey, listen. It takes courage to step up, and it takes a level of obedience to come up and preach God's word. Amen. I'm going to have Jonathan post at the exit right over there. Please encourage him on your way out. I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray that we stay motivated and that we stay determined to live transformed from the inside out. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits all things." Somebody say all things. All things. Let us live from the inside out. Amen.